Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Bloomfield Village, Michigan, and earned a BA degree in speech communications from Denison University and a master's degree in finance from Walsh College. She had a 7-year career in fashion retail with Ralph Lauren, and in 1993, she joined her dad's auto dealership. Since 2011, she's been the president and owner of Bowman Auto Group. Her name, Katie Bowman Coleman, and we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Pasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're with Katie Bowman Coleman, who's the president and owner of the Bowman Auto Group. Katie, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Oh, wow. Okay, yes. So I grew up in Bloomfield Village. I had a pretty regular childhood, I would say. My dad was in the auto business, but prior to that, he owned a few gas stations. So I think I always, saw him hard at work, in a business he owned. And, when he got the dealership, then of course that was, our full focus as a family that, he was a car dealer and we supported him any way we could. And I was somewhat interested, but not truly that interested right away. It took me a while to get back to that. And we had a good time as a family. I have two sisters, and they're involved actually as owners in the Bowman Auto Group today. So it's carried through our whole family.
What's the biggest thing, Katie, you learned from Mom? And what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
From my mom, I learned to be gracious and to be part of any group. I mean, she really has a way of just being friendly to everyone and making friends everywhere she goes. And then from my dad, I learned hard work and not taking things too personally, that, in business, it was business first. And, your relationships would come as you took care of people and did well in your work.
What was your dream as a kid?
My dream as a kid was to be a doctor, believe it or not. And that dream kind of went away when I was a freshman in college, and the work of chemistry and calculus and all of those classes kind of hit me, and I just decided that wasn't really the path I wanted to go on. And I got into journalism and speech communications and business and economics, and that side interested me a lot more.
Where did you get your love for fashion?
Well, that is a good question. I would say I always just loved reading fashion magazines and being a part of the retail industry. I worked part-time for Saks Fifth Avenue growing up, for Papa Gallo that was in Birmingham. So I just always had that interest. And then after college, I started working for Ralph Lauren for the Polo Corporation, and I really enjoyed it.
That was in 1996. How did that come about?
Well, okay, so after college, I interviewed in New York City for jobs at Lord & Taylor and Macy's. They had great buying programs, and I didn't get the final offer there, so I was a little bit sad about that. And I went out to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, where I had spent summers going to a camp out there, and a couple of my friends and I decided we didn't really have solid opportunities yet, so why didn't we just live out in Jackson Hole? So the next day we went into town and interviewed, and I got a job at the Polo factory store. And I was just a salesperson to start, but I lived in Jackson for a year, and I was eventually moved up a couple times and became the assistant manager. And they wanted me to be the manager, but I said, my dream is to go to New York City, so how could I pursue that? And I was so shocked. A couple weeks later, I was being sent on a plane to New York to interview to be an assistant buyer in the buying offices in New York City. So that's how I got on that path, which was really not the way I thought it would work, but it worked out.
So you're in New York City. Tell us about that chapter. And then you get to Sydney, Australia. Also, tell us about New York City and Sydney.
Okay. New York City was incredible. Coming from Jackson, I had an adjustment, obviously. So once I kind of got adjusted to the fast pace, I just had such a great time. And I have family that live in the city. So that was really nice to be able to be, you know, close and connected to them. And you know, it was a lot of work working in those early days for the factory store division in the buying office. And then Ralph Lauren purchased or bought back all the retail stores. So they were no longer franchises. He owned them. So then we became the buyers for those stores. So that was an incredible amount of work, but also an incredible opportunity. I traveled the East Coast. I traveled the whole country. I went to Hawaii for store visits. And so I really got to learn, you know, how to look at each, you know, retail operation and assess it in terms of, you know, how would the customer feel about coming into the store? You know, what kind of experience were you having? And I think that's, you know, what I've carried through into the car business, but I guess we'll get to that later. But I loved it. It was really terrific.
I don't know if you made somebody mad, but you went from New York City to Sydney and then to West Branch, Michigan. What did you do wrong?
You don't really have to say that part, do you?
No. Joke. That was just a joke.
No. It's true. No, I'm saying about West Branch. But West Branch taught me a lot, I have to say. I wanted to stay with the company. I was homesick for Michigan. That was the only job available for the corporation at the time. So I became the store manager, and I opened the first Polo factory store in Michigan, in West Branch. And so I made my commitment and I stayed there. I lasted about 10 months. I was really, you know, open with the corporation that, you know, I wasn't thinking I would stay much longer, but I fulfilled my obligation to them. And, you know, I don't regret it. I learned a lot about opening a store. It was an incredible experience.
You met Ralph Lauren.
Yes.
People have confused me oft times for Ralph Lauren. Not really. What did he teach you?
Well, he's just an incredible, you know, person, incredible entrepreneur, business owner, you know, creatively. He's just amazing. I, you know, think in terms of the whole corporation itself, he really was at the forefront of, you know, customer service and experience. And so I learned all of those things from him and from the people that he trained well to carry that out.
We're talking to Katie Bowman-Coleman, who left the fashion world after 7 years and in 1993 joined her dad in the car dealership business. And I'm Jack Rasool, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasool, and we're with Katie Bowman-Coleman, who in 1993 joined her dad's auto dealership in Clarkston, Michigan. Katie, why?
At that point, I had worked for Ralph Lauren, and like I was telling you, it was an incredible experience because they were growing so quickly. So I got to do so many exciting things, living in New York City, moving to Sydney, Australia for a year, you know, coming back to Michigan, but I wanted to be closer to home, and I had run out of the, you know, jobs to do with Ralph Lauren. So my dad said, why don't you come work for me? And I thought, well, I'll give it a try. I wasn't really thinking, you know, much about it, that I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if I'd like it or what it would be like. But it was a few months in, I just saw how diverse and incredibly challenging and odd. There were so many things to learn, and I fell in love with it. And I saw all the similarities between clothing retail and automotive retail. It's really about the experience and customer service. You're selling the same product, you know, all over town. So what makes you different? And that really appealed to me. So, and I enjoyed working with my dad.
Did your dad start you at as a vice president or as a senior vice president? What was your first few jobs?
No. If I could teach anything to, you know, the young people in the workforce, it took me a long time to become vice president, and it took me even longer to become president. So it was a long journey of a lot of different jobs and a lot of, you know, jobs that are so important to the overall dealership. But they were jobs that, you know, some people might consider, you know, beneath them. But I never considered it that way. So I was a porter. I drove the parts truck to go pick up parts for servicing the cars. I wrote service. I answered the phones. I did accounts payable, receivable, you name it. I was in the F&I office. I sold cars. I mean, I did every job, and that was important to my dad that I be able to do everything. The only job I didn't do was I was never a mechanic, a technician, and I have the utmost respect for every mechanic and technician. It is an incredibly difficult job. It's they require so much skill. But I didn't have it in me to go, you know, get trained to be a technician. But I have a lot of respect for them.
Katie, what's the biggest things that Dad taught you about the business?
Biggest thing, things that were important to my dad that I learned were to give back to the community, to take care of the customer when they were in your store or, you know, you were communicating with them, to make sure that you went that extra step to take care of whatever they needed, that word of mouth, that advertising would come through your customer faster than it would from a television spot or, you know, anything else. And I learned to work hard. I learned that you needed to be there and listen and be part of your employees' lives and your customers' lives and your community.
When you joined Dad in 1993, what were some of the suggestions that you had for Dad?
I wanted to improve the showroom. I wanted to make sure that the cars looked really appealing from the road as you drove by. So I would rearrange the cars in colors and, you know, make them look a little bit like they'd been arranged like the polo, you know, golf shirts. And so, you know, he let me give those things a try.
You also suggested to Dad that we should get into the internet.
Yes.
This was in the late 90s.
Yes.
Dad didn't know what the internet was in the late 90s. Talk about that idea.
Yeah, so the internet was new. It was, you know, intriguing to me. And, you know, I wanted to learn more about it. I wanted to have a website. My dad just didn't quite see it at first, but, you know, of course, then he did and came along with it. But I was able to get us a website. It was, you know, simple at first, going after anything that, you know, was kind of part of technology. The whole, you know, change in technology was a little difficult for my dad. He'd come along eventually, but it took a lot of research on my part. I had to come in with my information and convince him that we needed it. And eventually we became better and better on the internet. We were one of the first dealers to give our salespeople each their own computer and their own printer, which was, you know, in the early 90s, like you said, that was not being done. People were just sharing one computer and printer on the showroom floor. It took, you know, a lot of time to kind of get to use it. So I think we were ahead of things all along the way.
All right. Then we come to the economic tsunami, 2007, 2000. We didn't need a whole bunch of printers because nobody was buying cars. How did you, your dad, and the whole team survive?
Well, you really have. That was a tough time. We had to really look hard at every expense, at every employee, and we had to make some cuts. And it was difficult. We tried to cut as few people as possible and help them with, you know, future employment. So we really cared a lot about the people that we had to make a change with, and we got through it. And it was, you know, not easy for anyone. I know that. I know some businesses didn't make it, but fortunately we were able to, you know, get our expenses in line and ride it out.
In 2010, you left Dad. Why?
Well,
How did you tell them?
Well, you know, it was an interesting thing. I think as the pressure to, you know, go further into the internet, to do advertising online, to really train your salespeople to answer email leads and commit to that, as that became more of, you know, a reality for dealers, it just was a tough thing for my dad and I. We finally kind of just butted heads enough that I just said, I think it's time for us to take a break. And he agreed. And I left for the whole year of 2010. And it was really tough. It was, but we, you know, worked hard to remain father and daughter outside of work and, you know, saw each other obviously for family events and things like that. But I explored other options at that point. So I worked with the Women's Retail Network for General Motors. They were very, very helpful. GM was one of the first manufacturers to have a network to help women and minority dealers, you know, become dealers. I went through their process. I looked at a couple stores as opportunities to purchase with a partner. And as I was looking at that, the opportunities were out of town, so my family and I would have had to move. My husband has a great job that he loves, so that would have been really difficult. And I just realized that my heart was really at Bowman Chevrolet in Clarkston. And luckily, my sister Karen intervened and connected my dad and I, you know, for a business lunch meeting. And we were able to, you know, come together enough, each say, you know, sorry, and I came back, which was great.
Okay, Katie, now let's jump to December 2011. And Dad tells you something. What was it?
Well, he told me that I would become the dealer, and I would take over from him, and he was ready to retire. He would still, you know, be in the store and have his office, which I always hoped he would continue doing. And it was beyond, you know, incredible. I was so excited, and I was ready.
And we lost him in May of 2012. Your dad, John Bowman, loved Clarkston, and the people of Clarkston loved your dad.
That is so true, and it was really just awful to have lost him so quickly after he and I really found a way to both be, you know, really empowered and excited about the dealership, you know, working together and me being the dealer and he being there as, you know, trusted advisor, but able to take time off. And it was really, it makes me emotional. He died of a cardiac arrest. So I remember when he said, "I'll see you next week." He was going on a trip, and then I got a phone call that he was being taken to the hospital, and it was very, very difficult.
We're talking to Katie Bowman Coleman, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Katie Bowman Coleman. If you want to learn more, www.bowmanchevy.com. www.bowmanchevy.com. Katie, you take over, and you were a single-point operation.
Yes.
That wasn't the most preferred thing to have. How did you address that issue?
Well, really, I just continued what my dad started by continuing our work in the community of Clarkston and, you know, greater Clarkston area through charities that were important, you know, to him and to me and to our employees and to the Clarkston community. And I think that immersion really just showed everyone things are going to continue. We're going to increase our involvement. And I think that a single point can survive in a community, especially one like Clarkston, because it's so easy to be part of that community. And there's so many wonderful people. And the support there has been incredible for the dealership. And, you know, we're just obviously so glad to be there.
every company, Katie, every entity has a culture, and it emanates from the person at the top, the servant leader. What's your company's, what's your dealership's culture?
Our culture is really that of supporting each other, much like a family would do. It's interesting. I started to think about this a few weeks ago, and it occurred to me that we really celebrate with our employees just as if a family would. We celebrate Thanksgiving, Christmas. We celebrate Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day. We have company picnics, and we also, I give a birthday card to everyone with a little gift card for their birthday. And I thought, you know, that's what families do, and we really are like a family. And I value and really enjoy knowing the employees and knowing what's going on with their lives and how can we help, how can we be supportive, how can we make the workplace really positive for their lives, because they're at work a long time. So we want to make sure that it's a really great place to be. And then I think that emanates out to the customers. I think they see that we care about each other and that we get along and we'll do anything to help each other out with any kind of issues or problems. So I think that's the culture. It's like a family.
In the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, the greatest motivational speaker was Zig Ziglar. His first book was See You at the Top. 41 times in that book, Katie, he said, you can have everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what they want. Does that still work today?
I really think that works. I think that's, I hope that's a part of our world at large. If it were, I think we'd have a lot fewer problems than we have now. I think that's just... treat people as you would like to be treated, and you know, all those things that we know are ways of operating and working that I think result in a positive outcome. I think that really rings true. I think that also along the way, you need to get as much help as you need to accomplish what you need to do to help others and also move your work or your business forward. I know I've been helped by a lot of people along the way, and so for sure I want to help others, and yeah, it's a way of life.
If you want to learn more, www.bowmanchevy.com. Today, your team consists of 130 people. You sell about 5,000 cars a year, and you give a huge portion of your success to hiring great people.
That is so true, and I'm fortunate to have a management team that, you know, most have been with me for a long time, been with my dad prior to that, and they've seen the ups and downs of the business. They've helped navigate a lot of the, you know, things we've had to get through, and they are just excited about, you know, our growth and also, again, being in the Clarkson community, and they really are terrific people. I'm so fortunate.
You've got 11 salespeople. 3 are women. Talk to us about women in sales.
Yes. Well, women can do any job in the dealership, any job in the world. Our female salespeople are terrific and, you know, doing well every day because they take care of their customers, they listen. But that really is true for all our salespeople. So I don't know that that's, you know, a quality that is just for women, but I have to say I do think that as women tend to listen a little more, and that has helped them for sure to propel their businesses. I also have a female general manager, Rhonda Jensen. She's incredible, and a female service director, Judy Simpson, and I'm so fortunate to have both of them. But that goes along with Joe Jackson, Doug Clark, Scott Hilliker, all the male managers I have, and they're awesome too. So really, it's not about just, you know, women in the business, although that's a unique thing. I hate to say, I wish it weren't so unique, but it still seems to be, you know, a story to be told. I think women comprise about 6% of the dealers in the country, I'm pretty sure. So that's, you know, that's low. And I know in management positions in dealerships, there are, you know, the percentage is low as well. So really for Bowman Auto Group, Bowman Chevrolet, it's been about the right fit, the person that has the right skills. And that just happens to have been some women in some key positions. But they're, you know, the men, there's room for everyone. So,
okay. Some would say you've done some crazy things in this dealership, Katie, to put the cars red, white, and blue for the holiday, for the 4th of July, okay? Having Christmas parties and Easter lunches and Thanksgiving lunches, et cetera, for the team. But when I came to your dealership to meet with you, friends, it was better than going to Costco on Saturday afternoon where you go for those, you know, free samples all over. You had fresh popcorn, warm, fresh popcorn. You had fresh baked cookies. You had 20-plus different types of drinks. It's better than going to Costco. Why?
Well, that is something we started a while back, and it was definitely something I wanted to do for the dealership and for the customers and the employees. So when we didn't have as many sales, so our showroom wasn't as busy all the time, you know, the employees and the customers could go get the popcorn and the soda and the waters and the things that we offer and the cookies. Then it got a little too busy, so I put two separate areas. One for the employees, we got their own popcorn machine and cookies and sodas and things, and then we kept the customer area just for the customers. So, you know, it's nice to be able to go get a fresh snack and, you know, be able to have something while you're waiting for your car to be done, and something for your kids. You know, the kids get a little restless. So we just try to have enough that everyone feels very welcomed, and also, like, you know, again, like, it's family and they're coming into our home. And, you know, we've done it for a while and it's been great.
It is fabulous popcorn. I'll tell you that. Speaking of which, there's four Chevy dealerships within 15 miles of you, all selling the same stuff. How do you all survive?
Well, first of all, I've known the dealers surrounding me for a long time, and I consider them friends. And one thing I think is a unique story about the Metro Detroit Chevy dealers is that we've grown up together, we've known each other a long time, we support each other, but we are competitive. So we all want to win that sale, earn that customer's business. So I think it comes down to we each put forth our, you know, best, and the other dealers surrounding me are all successful and all great dealers. I just hope that, you know, our way of doing business and treating customers like family and with respect, I hope that means something and we earn the business.
We're talking to Katie Bowman Coleman, who's got two sisters. We've talked about Karen. Now we're going to talk about Mimi when we come back. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Katie Bowman Coleman, who's actually one of three owners with her sister Karen and Mimi.
Yes.
Mimi works in the business. Tell us about Mimi.
Mimi is the youngest of the Bowman sisters, and she's worked at the dealership, gosh, I want to say 15-plus years. She's an important part of getting our day-to-day business moving. So she goes to the bank, the Secretary of State. She actually helps make some of the popcorn and cookies and keeps the store stocked with all the goodies. She's incredible. And Mimi has mild cerebral palsy, so she's grown up with a special need, and she has really overcome that in so many ways. She's an incredibly kind, warm, amazing girl, and I adore her, as does my sister Karen, and I wouldn't know what to do without her there. I love being with her every day, and you know,
what's
she's
the very biggest
special
thing Mimi has taught you?
Oh my gosh. I'm getting a little emotional again. Mimi has the most incredible outlook towards people. She can spot a phony a mile away, and she's just got a radar and a way of kind of seeing through, you know, I don't know, the stuff that usually gets people down, she'll just kind of say the one thing that will turn your day around and, you know, get you on a different path. And she's just got an incredible outlook towards life. And she's wonderful to be around.
Speaking of incredible, there's an incredible billboard on I-75 of you.
Yes.
When you drive by with your three kids, what do they say?
Mom, you're big. That's you're looming over I-75. No. I they're very proud of me and very supportive, and I, you know, it's exciting to have a billboard to show that Clarkston is just off of 75, exit 91 and 93, and not hard to get to. So we wanted to make sure people knew that, and I think the billboard accomplishes that.
She is a sales lady. So when you're driving by yourself and you go past that billboard, do you ever think of your late dad? And if so, what do you say to him?
Oh, my gosh. I do talk to my dad fairly often and just tell him things that are going on. Thank him for the opportunity for, you know, keeping the business going through the tough times and giving me the opportunity. And, you know, asking him, what do you think? You know, I hope he would be proud of all of us.
I'm sure he is. Auto dealers, Katie, they have huge hearts and they have a culture of giving back to their communities. It's unbelievable. All throughout all of America. Why so?
It's a really important thing for people to know is that car dealerships oftentimes are the largest taxpayer, you know, employer in their communities, and also the, you know, largest business that is supporting the local charities, the hockey teams, the, you know, baseball teams, the things in a community that make the community important for everyone. And I think that oftentimes dealers can be painted as, you know, the bad guy. And I just don't see it that way. I see car dealers with, like you said, incredibly big hearts, with giving money back through charitable work, through employees giving their time and effort, you know, towards the charities and towards the communities. So, you know, for us at Bowman, it has been working with four major charities that we've supported that my dad started supporting, and they're Easter Seals, SCAMP, Clarkston Area Youth Assistance, and My Habitat Clarkston. And those charities we support, but we support countless others. It's important, you know. We're connected to the community, and we're providing transportation options, and, you know, that's a big thing in people's lives, so we want to be part of their lives and give back.
If you want to learn more, www.bowmanchevy.com. Katie, you and I met the weekend of November 4th, 2017, up in Midland at the Northwood University Distinguished Women 2017 Awards. This was the 48th annual. This is tall cotton. Tell us about that weekend.
Oh, my gosh. That was incredible. I really enjoyed it and was so surprised when they, you know, I got a letter saying I had been chosen to be one of the 2017 Class of Distinguished Women for Northwood University. Of course, I knew about Northwood and had always admired, you know, the car show put on by the students and so many of the things that Northwood has done. But boy, did I learn a lot more over the weekend that I was there. And I just loved it. I thought that the people were just so warm and so, you know, committed to helping people and to providing the students with incredible opportunities, you know, really focused on connections, I think is probably the thing I would take away the most about Northwood. And I loved it. I loved every minute. And I was so honored and so thankful. And it was a great weekend.
2017 was a great year for you in being honored because you were also honored by D Business in their 2017 Powered by Women, and they highlighted eight special women. Talk about that experience.
Yes, 2017 will go down as a big year for me and for Bowman Chevrolet and Bowman Auto Group. hoping I can keep it going in 18. No, I'm sure that we will. But for Powered by Women for D Business, that was another just surprise and incredible honor. The experience of, you know, I was at a photo shoot with the other women and just learning about what they were doing and their stories. It was humbling to be, you know, connected with all of them and be part of it. And, you know, again, I was so thankful, and that was a great, you know, experience.
Celeste Briggs, you mentioned the General Motors Women's Retail Network. Tell us about Celeste Briggs.
Well, Celeste is incredible. She is the head of the Women's Retail Network at, for General Motors. She was actually in the 2016 class of Distinguished Women for Northwood University. So I had the opportunity to see her at the Flower Breakfast, which was really a great thing where they all the honorees can come back and be connected. And so we had a nice time there. And I'm just thankful for what Celeste does and you know, everything that General Motors is doing to promote opportunities for women.
As our time winds down together this evening, what advice would you give to our young listeners, please?
I would really say that, you know, jump in, just know that whatever job you're doing, if it seems like it's not, you know, where you want to be, do it the best that you can. Ask to do more. Find more to do that can bring value to whatever, you know, position you're in or whatever business you're working for and with. And to read trade journals, go to seminars, try to, you know, add connections to where you want to go next. And I think that don't be too much in a hurry. I think sometimes this younger generation seems like they're in a rush for the corner office. And don't get me wrong, that's great. But if you don't know all the steps along the way and you don't have the chance to do those, I think you miss out on a lot. So, you know, be happy with where you are, do it the best you can, and, you know, get ready for that next step. But don't force it. Just, you know, wait for your time.
Your dad, John Bowman, is up in heaven looking down, listening to you, telling everybody around heaven, that's my Katie. That's my Katie. Keep up the great, great work.
That is a great thought. And, you know, I miss him, and I'm glad to continue on the work he started. And, you know, it's been a great year. So
please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Crisula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahn.